to ask of the adjuster to get approved some big items without proper justification is a waste of everyone's time. Properly documenting your builds is something that contractors really need to get on.
The next level roofer that's like, I'm not just trying to replace your roof. I'm trying to upgrade your roofing system so that your whole home works better and is more efficient. Hey, how's it going? It's Tim Brown, and this is the Hook Better Leads podcast. And today I've got Max Rosenbloom on of Supplement Experts. How you doing, sir?
What up, brother? I'm feeling good, feeling great. How are you?
Doing very good. Could you give a little just like background on supplement experts, like 1 or 2 minutes, and then like what is a supplement, just for the people that are just getting into this?
Yes, I absolutely can. So, the best way to describe what we do is we assist contractors in processing insurance claims that they are doing the repairs of. Our goal ultimately is to get our clients properly paid for the work that they're completing. A supplement is a line item or a trade or, something extra that needs to be added onto the scope of repairs that is deemed necessary by the insurance carriers. So you have your original insurance estimate, and you have your, a revised or final insurance estimate, and that gap, that delta between the estimates, that's known to be a supplement, which is, why where our name properly comes from. So,
And how long have you guys been doing this? And like, what got you into it?
been around 5 years. I got into this because I was working for a roofing company. I think it was back in 2016. Was a company that was rebuilding. I didn't know that at the time when I started working there, and I was selling right after this monster hailstorm in Colorado, actually like 2 or 3 days after I got laid off from my fintech job. And I basically was sold on a dream that a lot of roofing companies tell young people, which is, hey, come work for me for 3 months and you'll make $100,000. And as someone at the time with nothing to lose, that just sounded like an opportunity I wanted to check out. And I started selling for this company, and this company wasn't prepared for the volume that was coming in from the storm, especially as they were like rebuilding. Just a lot of things started to go wrong, particularly like things weren't getting done, whether it was production, release of funds, supplements, whatever. And long and short of it is I had to figure it out because I had, people calling me upset that I took money from their grandma or their mother or whoever, and nothing was getting done, and rightfully so. But I naturally just got good at dealing with the insurance carriers and pushing for things that needed to get done and for things that weren't on it. Eventually I got asked to come on full time to the company just as their main supplementer, which presented challenges. And as the story goes, maybe a bit too often in this industry, things between me and the company just weren't working out. And it was the same thing with other employees of that company, where they were leaving and they weren't necessarily making the margins or getting the returns that they were when they were having me work their files. So they were calling me and they were saying, hey Max, like, I only want you touching my files. Like, here's how much I'll pay you. And after doing the math, it just the noise became too loud, and the time came, and I left and I started Supplement Experts. And of course a lot has happened over the last 5 years since then, as I'm sure
Sure.
you relate to.
And you've hired quite a few people. You guys, how big is that team over there?
Our staff by the end of this month will be over 25, and we'll probably,
Congratulations.
thank you, and we'll probably be well over 30 here by end of June, just with the rate of files that are coming in already this year. I'm a numbers guy. I really run a lot of our business off of analytics. The analytics are showing that it's going to be a very busy year for us, which, very fortunate to have.
Well, we're talking about things people are missing. So we're going to start this podcast really by discussing five things you're missing on your roofing supplement. So the most common categories, things, and I mean, like from my point of view, it's understanding when we're working with insurance carriers that sometimes, this is my outside point of view. You tell me why I'm wrong. It's sometimes the initial estimate doesn't cover all the items that we think are appropriate for that homeowner. And in some cases, that means we need to do some extra billing afterwards to cover what needs to be covered based on the situation. Because when you start a construction job, particular roofing and exteriors, it's just not always clear what it's not always clear exactly what it's going to need in every situation. And then you uncover these things, and then later, okay, we really should be billing for this if we're going to replace it. If we're going to do this job properly, we need to do these things. So, what are the five things? And by the way, am I wrong? Is that correct? Or how would you rephrase that?
Honestly, I think that was a pretty good description. If you think about it, how long is an adjuster doing an inspection for? Sometimes 15 minutes, 30 hour if they're good, sometimes a little bit too long. But the truth is that while contractors are quick to jump on insurance adjusters, I think we need to do a better job as an industry putting ourselves in their shoes. And once you can relate to them, you could start to get the results that you want. But when I say relate to them, this is probably going to my first point here in a second, is you got to put yourself in their shoes and make things easy on them, right? Because they're not at these properties five times. They don't have the luxury of, coming to this property a bunch of times with, multiple people looking at a bunch of different things. You do. So, you have to gather information better than they do. And I mean, if I'm being completely honest, that's something contractors just don't do in general. I mean, we have hundreds of clients across the country. The majority of them, even though we give them the playbook of, hey, this is how you have a ton of success, like they just don't execute it. And if you could get your team to shift their mentality of, to, hey, like, I'm not just gonna go out and crush, 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 as much volume as I can. I mean, like, yes, you want to do a bunch of volume, but sure, but you could maximize all these jobs in completely appropriate ways that, still yields the same results. So, so kind of going into your question directly, five things people miss. I would say number one is the shingle in and of itself. Okay, like what kind of shingle is existing on the roof? The In general, an insurance carrier is not going to pull off a shingle and, see what, make and model it is. But so what are they going to do if it's a laminated line item? What is it? It's just an RFG 200, RFG 300 line item, which is just like the very basic level of shingle. Well, some of these shingles are like, they have the lifetime warranty. That makes it a more premium shingle. So that's, $50 to $100 a square right there. You multiply that on a 20 square roof, that's thousands of dollars right there, right off the bat, just because you pulled it off, flipped it over, looked up the model number, and then you submit the paperwork to the insurance carrier saying, hey, like, this is what this shingle is. I can give you a really good example of that. I'm in Denver. I got blasted by a hailstorm last year. Okay. I saw that my roof is a duration roof. Well, there's a letter, and this is for all of you out there that don't know this. This letter is freaking gold. Okay. There's a letter from Owens Corning saying that all of their duration shingles now are impact resistant. That's duration. That might be the most widespread shingle on the market of the last 5 to 10 years. And now they're saying it's impact resistant. Well, an impact resistant shingle is, in almost every market going to be $100 a square more, maybe even more than that. I think for me, it I mean, it raised my insurance claim significantly, and it's zero arguing. Like that's how we as supplementers want to work. We don't want to argue with these guys. We want to say, hey, here's the facts. The fact is that this shingle on my roof, or I guess on our client's roof, is this, and here's the letter from the manufacturer saying that it's an impact resistant shingle. Like, they're not even gonna probably like say anything about it. They're just gonna write back saying approved. So, take the time, pull off these shingles, find out what it is. And same thing goes for from going from denials to approvals. John Sinek, he's a wizard at this, and the Name That Shingle group, love their reports, love the people there. They provide lots of information as far as it goes for what's on the roof. Is this repairable? Is it not? How to attempt a repair video? How to document it? Like that's huge if you're trying to, serve your client. I think.
You mentioned that getting more empathy or like understanding the adjuster is ideal, like because then you can just feed them what they need. So do you think I'm thinking about doing a like how to get your State Farm roof approved video this summer, and I was gonna try to like get like Sinek or and I was going to try to get Dan Walrecht, the $18.5 million guy, on it. And I'm trying to get, I was going to see if I could get an insurance, a State Farm adjuster on the video. Do you think that they would have to be under the guise of anonymity? Would I
Yeah,
have to do like.
the adjuster would, I'm sure, because that I could see becoming a conflict of interest for them.
I'll do a voice changer.
He might
This
have
is how you get a State
to.
Farm roof approved. I am very excited about attempting this video, and I basically want to create the most comprehensive video on getting a State Farm roof approved, because I do think that that's like the number one, that's like the most common clamor on roofing Facebook. By the way, subscribe if you'd like to see that video, because we are planning on doing that video this summer.
Yeah, I mean that it would be interesting to hear just even past that, like what an Allstate adjuster too, like what the difference is between them and like State Farm and what they look for.
Oh
You
yeah,
know,
those are the two most common frustrations. What do you say to those roofers or roofing salespeople that are kind of stuck in combative mode with these carriers and these adjusters? Like, what would you say to them? Do you feel like they're not getting their what they could be getting money-wise because they're stuck in combative mode?
yes, but I think that they need to do a hard look at themselves and what they're putting forward, and really internalize, hey, am I presenting this information in the best way possible? I mean, not every client that we have, or that we have over time, has tremendous success with us. And yes, I there have been, of course, over 5 years and lots of claims, there have been mistakes our team has made. But a lot of the times, these companies that just don't work with us are, one, asking for pie in the sky stuff that just like it's just too much. Is it justifiable? Yes, to a point. Otherwise, we would not, be submitting it. But like to ask us or to ask of the adjuster to get approved some big items without proper justification is a waste of everyone's time. The adjuster knows it, we know it, like
Like, name off some of these items that you're talking about.
we have, for example, an extra overhead and profit on minimal
That's what I was
trade.
going to. OMP. Are we
Like
talking about
minimal
OMP?
work, something that a homeowner really doesn't have to hire a general contractor for when they just need to make two calls. I get it. Everyone thinks that, we have the right to whatever. Well, I mean, like a lot of these roofing companies, some of them are making like, 50% margins. Like that's insane. and that's without overhead and profit. So
Are you down with ONP?
of course I'm down with ONP when it's
Are
just,
you down? Are you down? I wish I could sing it. Are you down with ONP? Are you
Yeah,
down with ONP? So
you know
you're not
me.
down with ONP though.
No, I am, but when a homeowner really needs to hire a general contractor, yes,
Okay.
absolutely. Like
So what
if
is like that line? Talk to me about that line. Like where is that line? Is siding the line? Is where is the line?
So Rilla allows you to listen to it's an AI in your pocket, listens to the appointment. It's pretty crazy what it can do. It gives a script, gives everything they said, it breaks down some statistics for you.
Analyze talk ratio, interactivity, like how you and I are interacting back and forth, longest
Yeah,
modeling,
bro.
like all those
Honestly,
things.
this is the shit that I most believe in AI.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Enhancing the
You're
user
about to put
experience. Yeah.
math and data around something that used to be my magic skill.
It's a subjective question, and
Okay.
honestly, I think it depends on the homeowner. But it's tough. Like for example, like if the homeowner has to put in significant thought of how they're going to organize getting their property repaired then or restored, then yes, overhead and profit should be warranted. Where it's like, hey, I have Electric, I have to, I have to do my stucco first, and then I'll have to do the roof, and then the siding can come on after. But we got to make sure we get an electrician out there, and we can do the roof, then we can do the gutters, then we can do the paint, and then we can come in
So
and
it's
do
like
like
3-year
that's that's obvious.
moratorium.
Like
Yeah.
that's when you truly need a general contractor. But
Yeah.
when it's like, hey, you know what, we're gonna We'll get the roof, we'll get the gutters done, and then we'll get some of the siding done. Like, I mean, come on. Like that's I
I
get
don't
it.
think
I
it's
get it.
always I don't think it's always like a roofing contractor being willfully ignorant on these things. I think it's just hopeful thinking. It's like, well, I got OMP a couple times, like
Right.
on these little bit more complex jobs. This one feels kind of complex. Like I, as an outsider, I could say if there's paint and siding a little bit on there, then I could see how I'd understand. I would be a little hopeful that
Right.
that would basically.
And that's fair to, more or less be hopeful. Like, yes, you are acting as a general contractor. You could argue to, how extensive it is. Yes, but to hold up the repairs, your cash flow, your salesperson's monies, like that they need to survive. Over something that's not a winning argument is bad business, in my
Yeah.
opinion. So,
I like it. Let's get back to this list. So we got you said the shingle. I really like that we're starting with the shingle and what you're pulling off existing. What are some other things that people are missing on their supplements a lot?
okay. I'm gonna get into some more nuggets in a
Yeah.
second, but I kind of want to just kind of put bookend on what we're talking about as making the adjusters' lives easier. And how about
Yes.
making your supplementers' lives easier too? Okay.
Yeah.
Taking the time to properly document photos. Okay. There's particular photos that we're gonna want. We have a photo checklist. Anyone who wants it can have it. It's great. But it is so hard to tell where certain things are on a roof or on the siding or wherever in the process. If you got your production people, your salespeople, whoever, to take 5 seconds to label where something is to make it easy on the adjuster. Because, like I said, we want to present facts. Hey, fact, this is on the right elevation of the roof. Fact,
Yeah.
this is the left elevation of the siding. Like, if you take the second to do that, you could save yourself a whole other inspection if it's a whole other trade. How many hours of your time is that? It's significant. Days go by before they can, weeks go by before they can get out, even get out there. But, going into properly documenting photos, My goodness, like the most important time to get photos, in my opinion, in supplementing is during the build process. So, like, I've been the salesperson in this industry. I still deal with salespeople all the time. Are they going out to their builds specifically during tear off? I'm going to tell you this right now, and the majority are not. They're not. You're not going to get them out there that early. Like, or they're just going to miss it. You need to get your production guys out there to properly document the builds. Hey, this is what's happening during tear off. You know, all those flashings that get damaged, that happens during tear off. And that'll show in the photos. Okay. I think it was, farmers in the Hartford, they straight up stopped paying for drip edge on the eaves because roofers weren't replacing it. And you could argue whether that's right or wrong, but they're just not going to do it. But if you have a photo during tear off of it damaged, they don't push back. They see, oh, it's ripping off or it's ripped off. They just pay for it. And it's the same thing with the step flashing or the head wall flashing. If it's shown that, like, hey, like, this is what it looked like, a very high percentage of the time you're going to get that approved. You know, sometimes you get carriers pushing back on that. But, like, again, like, we want to present facts. Well, fact, this is what happens during tear off of the roof. You know, this needed to be replaced, and this is why we replaced it. You know, please pay us for it. And that's a huge thing that's missed during supplementing is, you know, one, properly labeling things. I guess this is a two-part deal. So one, properly labeling things, and two, you know, getting out there during your builds. Like, and I know a lot of people out there are probably thinking to themselves, if they're listening to this, you know, like, how do I get my crews to do this? You know, this doesn't seem feasible. It is. And it's very easy.
RoofCon's amazing. Getting to see all the speakers like Nick and Eric and especially Tim Tebow. Very exciting and eye-opening.
Amazing speakers and great knowledge. Keep it up.
First RoofCon, been following Hunter and the Revolt Clan for quite some time. And it's definitely been a lot more than what we expected.
RoofCon 2023 returns to Orlando, Florida, November 9th through the 11th. Get your tickets at RoofCon.com.
You pay them more. Like, you say, hey, if I get these photos, you know, I'll give you, you know, this is going to be, we'll give you an X amount per job. But if I don't get these photos,
incentivization pay, right?
Like, yeah, incentivize, but also be like, hey, if I don't get these, like, you know, I would really think about giving a penalty. Like, when I was working for a roofing company, or I know multiple companies that do this, hey, if I don't get these photos, like, I'm going to have to dock your pay a bit. Like, okay. And you could justify to yourself the increase in pay because you're going to get a significant increase in supplements. I promise you that. I promise you that. And, you know, and another part of it, added bonus of it, is this is now an extra management piece for you of your builds where it's like, hey, like, I can see what's going on during tear off on all my builds because it's documented. You know, I have answers. I don't have like, well, some wishy-washy stuff of what's really going on out there because, you know, it's coming from, you know, whoever. Like, this is a management piece as well. So, you know,
yeah.
bigger increases, you know, better project management. It's all added bonuses. So, you know, properly documenting your builds is something that contractors really need to get on. Really need to. So, and the data for supplement increases from our clients that properly do these things versus those who don't really put the time and effort into it is significant. So, all right, so kind of time to get into some nuggets here that you can get.
Let's get back into this list. So we talked about really looking at the existing shingle. What else are items that they're often missing?
So, just kind of recap, existing shingle, labeling photos, production photos. So now I'm going to give you two One quick one. If you want an extra, couple hundred bucks ish a job, which if you spread across all your jobs, this is pretty simple. A flashing diverter, a wall diverter, is required by code on at the end of pretty much every or at the end of every run of step flashing. So what that is it's a bent, it's a piece of flashing that is really easy to install it diverts the water away from the end wall, which if you take the time to look on you or on Google why that is, it's because the water just keeps running along the wall and it eventually could deteriorate the wall or create rot behind siding. There's pretty good examples of it. But yeah, so there's something called a kick-out diverter, which is an exactimate, and in Symbility, I'm pretty darn sure that there's something like that in Symbility. But it's just a flashing diverter at the end of the wall. It's a quick picture and something really easy for your guys to do. And they're like, I know in Colorado, I believe, like on our pricing list, it's $50 each. So if there's 10 walls, or 10 runs of step flashing, that's $500. Real easy.
Nice.
And your margin on that's gonna be pretty darn high for
Right.
getting that done. So kick out diverters, and they are code requirements for a reason. You should be doing these no matter what. You need to be, in my opinion.
Awesome.
So kick out diverters, that's an easy one. A I don't want to call it difficult, but something that you as a roofer, if you really want to be diligent, proper ventilation. Okay. So there's an app by Lemanco, where you just enter basically the specs of the roof and it'll tell you the proper ventilation it needs to have. Okay. And now here's where I
Yeah,
want
probably
everyone.
every time I've really hung out with a roofer that like is a master roofer, they know this envelope of the home and how it ventilates that roof is like it's actually massive in the
It is.
longevity of that roof. And I didn't fully
So
understand that before.
here's the nugget part though. I mean, adding an extra vent or two, that's, if necessary, that's great, right? And but what's never talked about is intake ventilation. Okay. And this is where you might need to check in with your local code office to see if this is something that they enforce, but it's something that they should enforce. But if you look at the manufacturer specifications of every roofing system, they call for proper ventilation of the roofing system. If you think about thermodynamics, the if there's just exhaust vents at the top of the roof, okay. And I'm talking about nothing at the eaves, no eave vent, no soffit vent. The air that exists in the attic system is not going to properly flow out. Okay. So the IRC code says that there needs to be 50-50 intake to output ventilation. So the intake ventilation that's coming from the eaves. That's where air is going to come in, and then it's going to push out through the turtle vents or the ridge vents on the top. Okay. If you look at the Lomenko ventilation calculator, what it shows you basically is that for every turtle vent, so just box vent, on the top of a roof, there needs to be about two soffit vents. It just is how the math works out. So, coming back to my ancient house again, I have no soffit or intake ventilation. So I went to my insurance carrier and said, hey, this is what the code says, and here's the manufacturer specifications that says that my roof needs to be properly ventilated for, as per their guidelines, both their guidelines. And, I think I have, what do I have? Like seven or six or seven vents on the top of my house. So I need 14 soffit vents. Okay. the soft events are easy to cut in. You could put event in on the backside of the house so it doesn't show on the front. Like, there's a bunch of different things you could do to bring it to code, but these are big ticket items and they are very profitable items too. But probably above all the financial reasons, like this is something that like will extend the lifetime of the roofing system. And two, is it a good sales point for your salesperson where it's saying, hey, like I'm really diligent and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like your roof isn't properly ventilated. Don't you feel in the summer that like it gets really stuffy, like right below your attic and just like kind of building up that like, yeah, like I, of course it is. Cause that hot air is literally just sitting there, just a big bubble of hot air. You get your that attic space to properly ventilate, you're going to make their house feel more comfortable. And that's a huge selling point. And that's the difference between me and Joe Schmo over there is, hey, like I took the time to properly do your inspection. I noticed you don't have any intake ventilation. You should have it. I can't speak to what your policy is, but if it is required by code and your policy has that coverage, it needs to be covered and, properly document it and send it to your insurance carrier and explain that to them. And, we'll try to reduce that energy bill ultimately and make your house feel more comfortable.
That's like the next level roofer. That's like, I'm not just trying to replace a roof. I'm trying to upgrade your roofing system so that your whole home works better and is more efficient, right? I think that like talking about the whole roofing system, the whole exterior system, like that could be an opportunity here to I do think it does set you apart from other roofing salespeople if you're doing this.
I mean, it all does. Everything I just spoke about, properly documenting things, taking the time to do that. When you show the homeowner like your work, like they maybe it won't matter to them like it matters to us roofers, but like they should be impressed by your diligence. Hey, like I saw this. Okay, here, wait. I got one more though. While I'm thinking of it, so I'm giving you 6 instead of 5. This is free bonus content right here. So when I There is actually a, this might be a twofer. So when I'm on my ladder and I get to the gutter line, I'm snapping photos of two things. Right when I get to the gutter, before I hop on the roof, I'm taking a picture of how deep the soffit is, because if the soffit is 12 plus inches and they require ice and water, I'm going to need 2 rows of ice and water barrier to meet code. Big ticket. Great. And then I'm going to take a picture in the gutter line. If the carrier isn't approving for gutters, okay, but if the gutters are anchored through the drip edge, I need to detach and reset the gutters, detach and reset the anchors of the gutters for to remove the drip edge, to replace the drip edge. That's an easy money line right there. Mm-hmm. Easy money.
How do crews feel about that?
What, having to detach and reset the gutters?
Yeah.
I can't speak for the crews, but I can imagine it's a pain in the ass, which is why, we should probably be getting paid for it.
Yeah. I agree 100%. Is there anything else? I think you had mentioned in our pre-discussion proper outtake ventilation. Did we already discuss that?
Yeah. The ventilation calculator, once you punch in like the numbers from,
where can you find this ventilation calculator?
LaManco has it. They actually have an app on the app store. I can
send it to you.
Yeah. Okay. And I believe also one click code.
Ventilation calculator. That's very useful, I'm guessing. LaManco is LOManco.
Yeah. So
that's cool. Thank you so much. The app looks cool. So check that out. Gets you some knowledge, but also some money.
There's some other calculations that like other calculators that you could take a look at as well. One click code has a really good ice and water calculator, and as well as I believe they also might have ventilation. I could be wrong. It's been a minute since I've personally used some of their calculators. Yeah, I mean there's some other different tools out there. Also, we use one-click code reports on every single job that we have. We have, you know, it makes our lives just so much easier to have that information to, you know, add to our estimates each time. You know, that way we know exactly what the right tax amount is, what the right codes are, you know, who to reach out to, like directly in the code office. It just is, it's a game changer for us.
So you have a lot of information, a lot of reps on some of this stuff. Is there any other like advice? You said you work hand in hand sometimes with internal supplementers at companies that need extra help or things like that sometimes.
Yeah,
What
you
would
know.
do you have any advice for those? Any other advice? Because some of those people might be watching this right now and might take a like. I'm sure some of this has been very useful to them. Is there any other advice that you have for internal supplementers?
You mean like companies that are just doing it themselves right now? My advice to you is to, sorry, my dog is yawning in the background, but my advice to you is to have someone like supplement experts or any of our competitors on standby. Like right now, honestly, it's April 17th. You can't tell me tomorrow that you're not going to have a monster storm next week. In you know, you especially if you're in Colorado or Texas or just, I mean, anywhere that gets these significant events earlier in the year.
Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota for sure. You might have someone right now who's just an absolute like dynamite supplementer. Okay. What happens when, you know, as you're building your team, these guys just start ripping after a storm? Okay. You don't want to get behind. Like, you plug us into your system. Like, say, for example, I have AccuLynx. I just create an account for supplement experts. And when I need them, hey, guys, please supplement this file. We're doing XYZ. You know, for us, we have a lot of clients that use us as an extension of their team. And you know, a lot of those guys have turned, you know, turned into, hey, we take over the whole thing, and then their guy just becomes a collections monster. But it's a lot to put all of this important cash flow section of your business on one or two people. If they get overwhelmed, everything falls behind. Everything falls behind. If they
I'd
quit,
imagine if your person takes off and you kind of had
exactly.
you didn't have backup and maybe they took off because you overwhelmed them.
Exactly. It's such an important part of your business, like at least in the restoration industry, to have, you know, a supplementer, if you will. To think that you're not protected if your main player leaves. 'Cause what happens then? Things stop going into your production. Your crews slow down. They look for job, you know, they look for work elsewhere. Your salespeople, they're not getting paid when you told them they'd be getting paid, or at the rate and amounts that they'd be getting paid. It all goes to shit. It really does. So, you know,
Can I ask you a spicy question?
go ahead.
You can tell me to edit this out if you'd like. But I sent you over that video with Steve Badger, and he was kind of talking smack about supplementers. So insurance lawyers are people that insurance. I don't want to. I appreciate him being on, but you know, like talking heads that kind of advocate for insurance companies, how you've seen that there's some like animosity towards supplement companies. How do you respond to that?
Respond to it in a couple of ways. I mean, you know, if the insurance companies were properly paying and you know, documenting and being fair, like then I then I wouldn't have a business. I wouldn't have something to exist. Like, let's be honest here. But yeah. At the same time, there's also the other side of it, which is like kind of coming back to what I said at the beginning, which is like, hey, like these guys aren't there for like very long. Like it is so easy to just genuinely miss things or genuinely not know things or are part of like that area. Like it's almost, to me, it's impossible for us not to exist because like these contractors, like they need to properly get paid, number one, but number two, like when they see something that it was missed that their client needs done because it's that significant to their property, like, yeah, like that it needs to be supplemented for.
Well, the age old one, like this is often a supplement, right? Like where you tear off the shingles and then you see stuff underneath that you didn't know was going to be there. Like you wish it wasn't, but look, there's a rotted deck or whatever. That is sometimes the case as well. Is that something that gets supplemented or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if the sheathing underneath is not up to code, then yeah. I mean, and if you're okay, now put yourself in the insurance carrier's shoes again. You know, they're not going to rip up these shingles and see the sheathing every single time. Why would an insurance company, you know, put a hole in a roof just for potential further damages that they're going to have to pay for? Like at the same time, like if as a homeowner, every time I get an inspection of my house, I don't want the adjuster cutting a hole in my roof. That could create more problems for me. You know, they're not roofers. So like, you know, there's things like that, it would have been impossible for them to know. It could have been, you know, stuff like that. I don't care how diligent you are, you're going to miss things. And I think that sometimes there are certain old head adjusters that pride themselves on like, hey, I am the best. I get everything every time. But no, you don't. It's natural. You're going to miss things. And those are the guys who are pain in the ass to deal with because they're the ones who are saying, I don't want to approve shit. But it's like, hey, brother, like, you got to look at this. And like, you know, yeah, but you know, I've listened to Steve speak a lot there. And I, you know, he's also, I think he's pretty brilliant on the stuff he writes about on LinkedIn, not saying I agree with all of it, but I do understand to a point his and the carrier frustration because there are, you know, so there are contractors out there who supplement for, you know, overly wishful items, or more importantly, like, and I don't think it's at all acceptable to be fraudulent about what you're asking for. You know, if you're blatantly asking for things that you're not going to do or would never do, like, that's unacceptable. And that's why before, you know, for us, like, every time we write an estimate, every single time, we put it in front of our clients and we say, hey, please review this. Let us know if it's good. And when I'm saying, let us know if it's good, I'm saying, does it have everything that you're going to do? And if there is stuff that you're not going to do, you need to tell us so that we can take it off. So,
absolutely. You know, Where could somebody check you guys out if they wanted to get started and make more money with their claims?
Straight to our website, supplementexperts.net. That's the best place to reach us. You know, our direct line is on there.
We didn't have supplementexperts.com. Who's got that?
Man, I check in with this fool every year.
How much does he want? Like,
he wanted like 15 grand and
let's get a GoFundMe started for Max so that he can get the
Oh my God. There's like two things. Like, I'd like rather be dead than caught in. And number one would be like, if I were to get hurt on skiing, like being in one of those sleds being brought down, rather would die. And number two would probably be having someone start a GoFundMe for me. But
all right, everyone, go start a GoFundMe for men.
So, reach us through our website. Check us out on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram too. We work really hard on our content. Maybe not. We're not at the Hook agency level, but we we really are trying. I what I would say to people who are thinking about working with us is we are a really genuine company with good intentions, and with a really, really, really good team. The people that you will work with, I promise you, you're gonna like working with, and they will uphold the values of your company, which is important because as a supplement company, you are who we represent. You're a contractor. Like, we represent the contractor in the process. You know, if I'm a business owner, it's important to me to know that, like, the people who are speaking on my behalf are representing the values of our company.
And I love your website too. I think you guys are doing a great job on content. Supplementexperts.net. Go check it out. Check out what they're doing. Check it out. Get the GoFundMe started. Everyone, thank you for watching.
Thank you so much.
Podcast is put on by Hook Agency, hookagency.com, Hook Agency all over social. Please like, comment, and subscribe.
Yes.
And share this with somebody on your team that could use it, okay? I appreciate everyone. Thank you guys. Bye.
Thank you.